worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is the sword of the Spirit. Your word carries your power, your wisdom, your light, your grace. And also, Father, your word is it's a book of faith. Thank you, Father, for the truths that we can learn as we read and meditate on your word. And thank you for how that as we read and faithfully meditate on your word, our faith can and will grow and develop. Guide us to be wise enough to seek daily to build and strengthen our faith so that our faith comes, grows, and develops more and more. And thus, we live more and more of a life pleasing to you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we're so thankful to know that you are the Lord that's high above all nations, over Ukraine, over Russia, over the United States, over all nations, that your glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high? What a wonderful God we have. We're so thankful, Father, that you're not just a God, but you're our God. And what a stooping down to love us to the point of sending your Son to die for us. We rejoice in that today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Our Spring Share-a-thon is just a few weeks away, and we're still, if we haven't heard from you as of yet, we still hope that we will hear from you to call in to share a listener testimony. The number to call and share a listener testimony is 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. We are gathering stories now to play during our Share-a-thon. Stories and testimonies of how the Lord has used the tool of American Family Radio to bless you, to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, to strengthen you as a disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your family. If the Lord has reached through American Family Radio by the power of His Spirit and done a work in your life and encouraged you, again, we're asking that you'd call in and share for a minute or two just how the Lord has done that. And you may hear your testimony during our Spring Share-a-thon. Once again, that number is 1-877-876-8893. 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. And we want to continue to remind you about our Ten Commandments project, specifically the pro-life speech project that's going on for young people. Remember, this is a youth discipleship project. It's a project whereby through young people participating, children and youth participating, it's a way to strengthen their faith and to put them work in the kingdom of God. Remember the Ten Commandments Project, the ongoing aspect of it, of course, is when a young person simply memorizes the Ten Commandments in short form and they recite them to their dad or mom, to a parent, then all they need to do is call us, tell us their child's size, and let them know, my son, my daughter recited the Ten Commandments to me. And we will mail them a free, beautiful Ten Commandments t-shirt with the Ten Commandments on the back and scripture on the front, a beautiful t-shirt. We're glad to be able to do that as an investment in the lives of our children and a way to help encourage us to help plant the Word of God in our young people. Specifically, the Pro-Life Speech Contest, of course, is an aspect whereby, similar to a project we had several months back last year, we had a Ten Commandments speech project for any and all the Ten Commandments. Well, this particular speech contest specifically focuses in on the topics of standing for life and against abortion and standing against euthanasia as well. And so if your child or youth would like to participate, all they need to do is give us you can email us. My two emails are jparker@afa.net or email me at joseph@afr.net. Both will get to me, and we'll be glad to send you an article that shares the details of this contest. And we're excited about the many children and youth that have participated in the past, and we've begun to get speeches from young people for this one as well. They simply... all they have to do is videotape themselves sharing a pro-life speech about the two topics, either standing for life and against abortion or standing against euthanasia as well. Simply email to us a video of them sharing their speech. And again, either one of the emails, jparker@afa.net or joseph@afr.net, email them to us. We'll look forward to getting those. The deadline is April 26th, so you have time. They have plenty of time to really do it still. But again, it's a wonderful project for young people to get involved in, and it's a great way for us to put our children to work, to help them to become kingdom warriors involved in the work of building God's kingdom and standing for life. Hope that you will choose to help them get involved. Today, we're looking specifically at the topic, faith agrees with the Word of God. And as we look at the topic of faith, you know, it's important for us to know that in all of the Word of God, it's important to know that this is a critically important topic. God's Word tells us specifically in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And so in view of that, it's important for us as believers to understand that you and I are wise to be lifelong students in the school of faith who never graduate, because if we want to live a life that pleases God, we need to be growing in our understanding of what faith is and how to put it to work. Because without it, there's no way, it's impossible to please God without faith. Therefore, you and I are to live a lifestyle of putting our faith and trust in God to work. So Hebrews 11 verse 1 also tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is trust and confidence in God's Word. And you know, when we believe God's Word and trust God's Word, another way of putting it is that we're simply agreeing with God. We're agreeing with His Word. And you know, I think of this specifically in the book of Amos chapter 3 verse 3, it says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Let me read that again. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Now, faith is the process of us agreeing with God and His Word. Now, keep in mind, God is not going to ever agree with sin. And so in order for us to walk with God, we have to agree with Him. And so when we hear the Word of God and choose to put our faith and trust in that Word, We're agreeing with God. We're cooperating with God. We're following God. So as we look at the topic, faith agrees with the Word of God, we're wanting to encourage you to grow in your understanding of both how we receive faith. And of course, in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us to fast for faith. It doesn't tell us to pray for faith. It doesn't tell us to pull out our hair for faith. It doesn't tell us to jog for faith. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you desire your faith to grow and grow strong and vibrant, then you and I need to be a student of the Word of God, believers who read and meditate on the Word of God. And of course, along with that, put it into practice. Obey what we learn now. And keep in mind, obedience is a critically important expression of our faith. So as we're looking at the different passages that we'll be looking at today, remember the Word of God tells us time and time again in Scripture, it says, the just shall live by faith. God's Word says that a number of times, Old and New Testament, the just shall live by faith. And so if we know that the Word of God tells us, and it does, that the just shall live by faith, and as we know too that the Word of God lets us know without faith it's impossible to please Him, then it's critically important that we decide that we're going to choose to live a lifestyle of reading God's Word and agreeing with God's Word. In the book of Genesis chapter 12, looking once again at Hebrews 11 first, and then we're coming back to Genesis 12. Once again, Hebrews 11, starting specifically at verse 1, one more time before we look at Genesis 12. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That was verses 1 through 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, the entire chapter of Hebrews 11, it's a wonderful chapter, a very productive chapter for us as believers to read and meditate on often, and sometimes it's referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. But remember, there are many, many Bible studies that can easily be drawn out of the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Each person represents an individual who heard the Word of God and agreed with the Word of God and chose to trust God and follow Him and look to Him in faith. Each character, each individual mentioned in Hebrews 11, there are important faith lessons for every one of us to learn from that person's life and how they trusted God. All of us are to be striving to live a life full of faith, because all of us have a calling and many callings from God that we will only carry out as we hear the Word of God, choose to obey the Word of God and agree with it, and follow through with it. So obedience, remember, is an expression of faith. When we simply obey the Word of God, we're putting our faith to work. When we obey the Word of God, we're putting our faith in gear. And when we obey the Word of God, we're agreeing with God and choosing to cooperate and follow Him. How important it is that we understand that that's what we're all called to do. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to be a people of faith who hear Your Word and obey it. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace and wisdom, that we would more and more be the people of faith You've called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we look today at the topic, faith agrees with the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Rejoice and be glad, He is the lover of my soul.
music of Covenant Church with I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We invite you to look with us in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Verses 1 through 9 of Genesis chapter 12. So again, here we find the passage in the Word of God in the book of Genesis specifically that talks about Abraham, how God called him to pack up, move his family, and in faith, Abraham chose to trust God and to obey him. So keep in mind, again, faith and trust in God heavily involves a life of obedience. We need to hear the Word of God and choose to obey the Word of God. You know, it's tragic when a person seems to feel like they have lots of faith, but they're not living an obedient life to God, because obedience is one of the very important expressions of our faith. It's how we put our faith to work, by choosing to agree with and obey the Word of God. Abram agreed with God, trusted him, trusted the word he had heard, and he packed up and moved his family to the promised land that God had told him, and God greatly blessed him in his obedience and faith in him. All of us are called to a life of obedience, a life of faith. Each one of us has a calling and many callings from God, things he calls us to do, and it's up to us to choose to obey God, to agree with his word, and to stand on his word as well. We're all called to live a life full of faith. Notice again in Hebrews 11:1, the verse, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's giving us a definition of faith. And another way of putting it is, faith is putting your faith and trust in what God has said. And another way to put it is, faith agrees with what God has said, agrees with it to the point where we follow God in obedience to what he's called us to do. Again, the same verse in verse 6, specifically in chapter 11. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So there's no way, absolutely no way, you and I can live a life pleasing to God if we're not living a life of faith. Romans 1:17 tells us, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous," or the just, "shall live by faith." So if we ask the question, is the word of God true? Well, you know, that almost sounds like, you know, to your average believer, that sounds like a silly question. Their response would probably be, of course it's true. It's the word of God and his word is truth. And God always keeps his word. So yes, the answer to the question, is the word of God true, is without question, yes, God's word is true. Well, keep in mind, if the word of God is true, and it is, you and I as believers are called to believe that it's true, and we're called to act like it's true, and to live a life acting on its truth. Now, here's where the breakdown happens sometimes. As believers, often we hear the word of God, and we read the word of God, and we read promises in God's word. But let me tell you one of the dynamics of what happens in spiritual warfare. When a believer reads the word of God, very often what Satan will do is he'll whisper in that person's mind, you know, that doesn't apply to you. that doesn't work for you. You know, even though the Bible says that, that's just not true in your life. And so we have a choice. We can either decide that we're going to believe what we see in our world, what we can either choose to agree with what things, the way things seem to be in our world, or we can choose to agree with God. Very often, the promises of God may not appear to be at work in our lives because of the circumstances we're in. It may appear that for whatever reason, God's word is not applying to our lives in a given situation. So if you agree with God's word, are you wrong? Never, ever. You're never wrong to agree with God. You're never wrong to agree with the promises of God. In fact, we're wise to do it because the more you stand on the word of God, the more you read and stand on his word and affirm his word in your heart and your life, the more the manifestation of that truth will come to pass in your life. But on the other hand, if you only agree with whatever looks like it's going on in your life and you never agree with the word of God, you trip yourself up in life. Remember, God's word is truth. And in our humanness, Satan will try to make us agree with what we see going on. In other words, if the world seems to be falling apart, if we decide, well, the world looks like it's just falling apart, and we say that and we just believe that, well, we miss out on the blessings of God. But as we hear the word of God and we hear the promises of God and we choose to agree with the promises of God, the manifestation of that truth will come to pass more and more in our lives. In other words, we'll come to see it because it's always true. And if we agree with God's word, then we see the benefit and the blessings of the manifestation of his truth to come to pass more and more in our lives. So, yes, God's word is true. And faith follows the word of God. Because remember, faith trusts and obeys the word of God. It spells out very clearly that walking in faith is tremendously important. Again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we, as believers, need to be mindful of that truth and remember this. Every day of our lives, if we want to please God, we need to live a life putting our faith and confidence in God, agreeing with his word and standing on his word and obeying his word. The just shall live by faith. That's what Romans 1:17 tells us. So we see we're commanded to live by faith. So in view of the truth that without faith we can't please God, and by his command the just shall live by faith, we need to very much understand this. Daily, we're to be in battle to put our faith to work and to stand on our faith as well. Remember this, like it or not, every day is spiritual warfare. Every day you're encountering warfare, and as much as we'd like to, we wish that we weren't, that's just a reality of life. So you and I are wise to seek to become faithful kingdom warriors who know how to put on the full armor of God and use it. And of course, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it talks about the whole armor of God. And note, too, I'm going to briefly walk through this passage with you, verses 10 to 20. And note the prominent place that faith, and specifically the shield of faith, plays in this passage. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now notice verse 16 once again. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, keep in mind, as I just mentioned a few moments ago, like it or not, you and I deal with spiritual warfare absolutely every day of our lives. Well, why is using our faith, and specifically as it mentions in this passage, the shield of faith important? Well, one reason is because lots of fiery darts are thrown at us by the kingdom of darkness every single day. In a single day, you may have over 1,000 fiery darts thrown at you in that day. Darts that will discourage you, that will upset you if you allow them, things that will try to trip you up in your faith, things that will make you aggravated if you allow it, and so many other things that are going on in your life. Well, keep in mind, the shield of faith, notice what it says. It says, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. In other words, as we wisely use the shield of faith, and faith, amongst other things, is a shield, it indicates that that shield has the ability to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So if we're putting our faith to work, if we're standing on the Word of God, we're agreeing with the Word of God, we're believing that God's Word is true, that what God says is true, then we have, by the grace of God, the ability and the power of the Holy Spirit to quench every fiery dart thrown our way. But we have to choose to stand on the Word of God and agree with the Word of God. Remember, you're never wrong to agree with God. And so putting our faith to work is so, so very important. Keep in mind, Abram, he was Abram, and God changed his name later to Abraham. Abram heard the Word of God. God told him to pack up and leave his family and go to the land God would show him. Abram obeyed God. He agreed with God, and he obeyed, and God blessed him, blessed his children, his grandchildren, and all the way down through the ages, God has continued to bless Abram because he chose to obey God, to agree with God, and to follow him. You and I are called, too, to obey God, to agree with his word and his promises, and to follow him. Every believer is called to that. And so keep in mind, I think of some of the best-known passages in the Word of God. For example, Psalm 23 tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Note the promises in Psalm 23. The first verse tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now you can read that passage, and very quickly, the devil and his demons will try to say to you, "You know that's not true for you. That's just not true. Your life is full of wants, full of needs, full of difficulties." Well, keep in mind, you're never wrong to agree with God. So your and my approach is to be, the Word of God says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So I'm standing on that. I'm agreeing that my needs are met in Christ Jesus. I don't live a life of want in Jesus' name. Well, again, that releases the power of God and the grace of God when you stand on the Word of God and agree with the Word of God. Did you know that when you stand on His Word and agree with it, it dispatches the grace of God to bring that to pass in your life? It also is a tool whereby God dispatches His angels. As you speak God's Word, God's angels are dispatched. They're mobilized to go forth and bring that truth to pass in your life. On the other hand, if a believer reads that and thinks to themselves, "Well, that's not true for me because I have all kind of wants in my life." Well, see, then that doesn't mobilize the grace of God to work in a positive way on your behalf. And the angels of God won't do anything with the words you just spoke or your confession because you're not agreeing with God. Remember, the angels of God, they listen for the voice of God's word. They respond to the word of God. So when we're wise enough to agree with what God's word and speak it, we're mobilizing the power of God and the grace of God, and we're allowing the kingdom of God to work on our behalf for our good. So we're wise to speak promises from God's word many times, many promises throughout the day, because something is being accomplished when we speak the word of God. It's causing its blessing so that the power of God is going forth to bring that to pass. Speaking the word of God is very important. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And they go on and on. But remember, choose to agree with every promise and stand on that, because remember, you're never wrong to agree with the word of God. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and we're looking today at the topic, Faith Agrees with the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came. And even second times around, happiness could not be found until love came. I was left all alone. Love showed me, love said not so. Without a reason for cause, peace and joy and bliss don't pause until love came. Having no hope at all, and not a love what to call until love came.
Music of B.B. and C.C. Winans, Love Said Not So. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, Faith Agrees with the Word of God. Remember this, the topic of faith and the Word of God is a huge topic of great importance, because God's Word tells us without faith it's impossible to please Him. In Old and New Testament, God stresses to us, the just shall live by faith. That means day by day, in fact, moment by moment, God wants us to live with a faith and trust in Him and in His Word. God doesn't want us to live in fear. And tragically, too many believers allow fear to sometimes get a foothold in their life and have a foothold. And sometimes too many people that say they love the Lord, actually, their lives are full of fear. God doesn't want us to live in fear. So again, looking specifically at Psalm 23, it's a good psalm for you to read and meditate on and speak every day. And remember this, the goal is that you'll basically let God know, God, I'm standing on every promise in this psalm. And you're wise to speak Psalm 23 and confess the promises of Psalm 23 many times in the course of a day, because remember, it's a battle strategy for life. Psalm 23 is a weapon that you use as you speak it. The words of Psalm 23 again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And a wise exercise for you to do on a daily basis is to, as you quote and you as you confess Psalm 23, and then just after you've stood on it and confessed it, a good thing to say before the Lord is, Lord, I'm standing on every promise in Psalm 23, and I believe to be true in my life. That's a great way to put your faith in operation, to put your faith in gear, to mobilize your faith in a fruitful and a positive way. Remember this, the Word of God tells us that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every believer has faith, but how much it grows and develops in your life, the ball is in your court. You know, it's important to understand then, the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Again, that's Romans 10, 17. If you want your faith to grow and grow strong, you need to be a student of the Word of God, one who reads and meditates on the Word of God consistently and faithfully. I like to encourage a goal of believers reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible each and every day. And so we're putting our faith and trust to work as we put our faith in gear. And so keep in mind, it's not impossible for a believer to hear the Word of God but not benefit from it in the way we should by not believing it. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 2, a very important truth for us to grasp is that we have to choose to believe the Word of God. Yes, we're to hear it, but not only should we hear it, we choose to believe it, we choose to agree with it as well. Hebrews 4, 2 says, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." Listen to that again one more time. Hebrews 4, 2. "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." Remember, when we read and meditate on the Word of God, a very important goal for us is to decide that we're going to trust and stand on that. We're going to agree with that Word and stand on that Word, as opposed to allowing the devil to make us think, well, you know, that's a good promise, but that just doesn't apply to me. The devil will try his best to make, if he knows you're going to read the Word anyway, his goal is to get you to not believe it, to not engage it, to not to choose to put it in gear by putting your faith and trust in that Word, by agreeing with that Word. In the New King James Version, chapter Hebrews 4, verse 2, specifically states this, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." Now notice, I'm going to read that again because it's helpful, very helpful for us to grasp this. You can read the Word of God, but if you don't choose to trust it and agree with it and stand on it, you can miss the great blessing of the Word of God. Again, chapter 4, verse 2, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." So we need to understand that our job as believers, our job is to believe that God will do his job. Our job is to believe God's word, to hear God's word, to believe it, to agree with it, and to stand on it. We're not to read the Bible just to say we've read it. We're to read it, to trust it, and agree with it, and stand on it. It's a weapon, and that's how we mobilize and put that weapon to work, by hearing it and standing on it, and also by speaking the Word of God as well. And so the latter part of Psalm 23 tells us, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." An important part of putting your faith to work is to live a life of hope. And, you know, it's important to understand a Bible definition of hope, because I think too often in the world, people will try to make you think that hope is simply a weak wish. But understand, Bible hope is expectation. Bible hope is expectation that God's word is going to come through for you, a belief and expectation that God is going to do what he said. And that's how we put our faith to work, living a life full of great expectation that God is going to do exactly as he said. Looking specifically at Psalm 91, this is a psalm that I would encourage every believer to pray over yourself and over your family every single day, because we live in such a dangerous world, dangerous to our physical health and our physical well-being, danger because there are dangerous things in the world that can hurt us physically and hurt us in other ways as well. Praying Psalm 91 every day is very wise, because there are many promises whereby God is able to provide great protection for us. But remember, it's important that we put our faith in gear. Psalm 91 tells us these words: "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Do you see there's some wonderful and powerful promises throughout Psalm 91 in all 16 verses? But you know what? You and I need to choose to agree with them, to believe them, and to stand on them as we pray them. Let's take time now specifically to pray Psalm 91. And remember, we're trusting God to fully keep his word, and that he's going to come through with every promise in the psalm. Father, thank you, Lord, for us all that are listening today. Thank you for each and every one of us, Lord. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In the name of Jesus. So again, the question is God's word true? Of course it's true. Then let's stand on it and act like it's true. As we pray a prayer like Psalm 91, let's pray fully expecting God to keep his word, because God will always keep his word. Our job is to believe that God is always going to do his job. Again, we're looking today at the topic specifically, faith agrees with the word of God. My encouragement to you, speak Psalm 23 and stand on its promises several times in the day, every day. Make it your goal to pray Psalm 91 every single day over you and your family, and believe that God is going to keep his word, because he will. Well, as we normally do at the end of the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to be saved, to commit or recommit your heart to the Lord. If you'd like to make that step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, would you simply pray this prayer with me? Or if you wish to recommit your heart, would you pray with me now? Lord Jesus, Thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long, long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, I confess, I've sinned in many ways. I repent. Forgive me for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please email us. My email again, jparker@afa.net or joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please email us, and we'd like to share that with you and be in touch with you as well. As always, we appreciate you listening and being a part of our listening family. Today, we've looked at the topic, Faith Agrees with the Word of God. And remember, if we're wise enough to put the Word of God to work every day, then it will bring blessing and grace in and to work in our lives and to bear upon our lives in wonderful ways as well. Make it your goal to speak the promises of Psalm 23 every day and to pray Psalm 91 every day as well. If you'd like resources to that end, just email us again, same emails we've mentioned before. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.